You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
One of the problems with just having head knowledge is you become a schizophrenic Christian. We have what we know, and then we have what we do. And we need to marry the two together. So let's get into it. And I will stick with the notes because we've got half an hour. And we've got 10 points. Don't you love it when they say you've got 10 points? You think he's never going to get it done in half an hour? I'll talk fast. First aspect of using the gifts of the Spirit is not to be passive. We can't, it's easy for us to sit there and say, I'll move as the Spirit leads me. But through personal experience, that's never the case. I just wait and wait and wait. And when God does say something to me, I sit there and say, is that really you, God? And I never actually get off my duff and do something about it. So what we need to do is to stand up and step out. Not presumptuously, but in faith that the gifts that God has given us are for the use and the benefit of those around us, for the body of Christ. People will respond to the display of God's heart intent act it out to them. You can tell them you love them until the cows come home. It doesn't make any difference. But if you show them, it makes a difference. So let's look at that. It says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. And I think there's a time to wait upon God, and then there's a time to act upon what God has said. Most of us get to church and think this is the time to wait upon God. It's not. We wait upon God before. Can you turn them down a bit? Thanks. We wait upon God before we get to church so that we can be used by God in the service. So we need to be waiting upon God before we come to church. Okay, there's 10 guides for spiritual gifts. Number one, the spiritual gifts are given so that we can use them to meet the needs of other people. So it's not about us. It's about meeting the needs. So we don't need to be self-conscious about that because as the need occurs, there's a spiritual gift there to meet it. Whatever happens, there is a gift there to meet it. We had the story this morning of the young girl that was killed. And at this stage, I mean, we're looking for a gift there. Well, you know, we can pray for that family. We can reach out. Dave Burt was up there, and he's a great man. And you think, someone's reaching out and touching that family. God can use all things together. God does use all things together for good. That doesn't mean we have to see good in everything that happens. But we do need to trust God that he can bring good out of even the most dire circumstances. I found that in my own life. I haven't always liked it, but I have found that. Okay, if someone fell over in the street, you're not going to stop and say, God, is it your desire for me to pick them up? Should I help them, Father? Or is this a ploy from the enemy to cause me to hurt my back or be sued for stepping out of line and touching somebody when I shouldn't? You just go out and you pick them up. And it's the same thing in the Spirit. If there's a need and you know what it is, step out to meet it. It's not your responsibility how that works out. Your responsibility is simply to take the step of faith. We're going to be talking about Peter a fair bit tonight. You know, out of all the disciples, I mean, John's the bloke I would have liked to have been, but Peter's more likely the bloke I was. He's such a wonderful mass of contradictions. He just is wonderful. And I think particularly of Peter when he's in the boat. And we're going to see that in a number of these cases because it's a good example of how we respond to God. A lot of us have backed off from using gifts because we've seen an abuse of gifts or we've seen people do some strange and weird things. We've looked at it and it's been embarrassing to us. If anyone's been in that situation, if you've been in the Christian church for more than 5 years, 10 years, you probably have been in that situation. That's just a ploy of the enemy to stop us doing what's right. We don't need to stop using the gifts, we just need to use them with wisdom and in order. Okay. In the notes, you'll get further examples and stories that go along, some from Barry Chance, some from myself. And so I'd encourage you, particularly in this sense, because it's practical, to read the notes when you get home, or try and follow with me tonight. But yeah, go through the notes. It really is beneficial. I was challenged with it too. This is a strong one for me. We see a problem. I think again of the family that just lost the daughter. Now, I look at that and go, I don't know what to say, so therefore I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to step away. I don't know how to help. I don't want to sort of go in there and do anything stupid. I don't want to aggravate the situation. Harry, where are you, mate? Is it true that the Chinese word for crisis and the Chinese word for opportunity are the same thing?
It's got the courage of opportunity and crisis.
Yeah, right. That means yes? Good. I'm really glad you said yes, because my next point would have been shot if you hadn't said that. We can look at problems, but really problems are opportunities. The greater the problem, the greater the opportunity. Think of when Jesus fed the 5,000. He looked at the situation. There's 5,000 people there, and they've got nothing to eat. So he asked the disciples to feed them, and they go, well, how are we going to feed them? We haven't got anything for them. So he gets one kid, and the kid comes out with his lunch. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Hungry little kid. That was his lunch. He was good on the fang. Do you reckon that kid was the only one there with lunch? You got 5,000 people, and you reckon one kid turned up with lunch? Seriously? I reckon there's a lot more there than just that one kid with his lunch. But that one kid gave what he had. The disciples looked at him and went, who are we going to feed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? But Jesus didn't see the problem. He saw the opportunity. There's nothing on earth in the temporal realm that God cannot overcome or bypass. Just because he doesn't always do it doesn't mean that he's not able to. But we do need to allow him the opportunity to move into that area, and we need to step out in faith with that. If Jesus had just sat there and said, well, okay, there's the 5 loaves and the 5 fishes, dish them out. But he didn't. He organised the people. He got them to sit in certain sections. He blessed the food. He broke it. He had an expectation that God saw the need and God was going to meet it. Now, I don't think he sat there and had 5 loaves of bread, broke them, they turned into 50 loaves of bread. I don't know how it worked. But when he passed them out, there was 5 loaves and 2 fish. And as it went along, people just kept taking what they wanted and there kept being more in there. I wondered if there was 10,000 people, would he have needed 10 loaves of bread and 4 fish? Because, you know, if you feed 5,000 with 5 and 2, then you need 10, 4 to feed 10. He could have fed 100,000 because it wasn't what he had, it was what he gave to God. It's what he gave. He gave all that he had. We see that as an opportunity, whatever the situation. One of my favourite anecdotes is that we have one great enemy of faith. One great enemy of faith. And it is in us, not in our circumstances. And that is fear of the visible, fear of what we see. We see something and we see that's real, that's it, and we're afraid of it. Because when we focus on that and we don't focus on him, this gets big and he gets small. Where our focus is, that's how we magnify the Lord. We can't make him bigger, but we can bring him more strongly into a circumstance and a situation. It's usually what we see that causes us grief. I think of Adam and Eve. Eve looked at the tree in the garden. She said, oh, well, that fruit looks good and it's good for knowledge and, yeah, I'll have that. Lust of the eye. Fallen man works through the soul realm. He works through what he sees, what he hears. Christians don't have to. We're not called to. We're called to walk in faith and in obedience. Does it make sense? Nothing about Christianity makes sense. Not to the human mind. It says it's foolishness to those that aren't saved. The gospel's foolishness, stumbling block, offensive. But it makes sense when we're walking in the Spirit, when we believe what the Word of God has to say for us and we step out into a different area. Christianity is not humdrum. Christianity, when it's done right, is really exciting because you just keep stepping out into different areas. Not in presumption, not in pride, but in a faith that if God directs your path, that he will make the path straight. So whatever comes before you, he gives you the ability to deal with. Always relying on him, always resting in him, but trusting that he will follow it through. Last year we talked about what happened on the cross, and one of the things that I said in that was that every testimony, you think of a testimony you've got, every testimony that anyone shares comes from one place. It comes from a time of need or desperation or trial. I don't have any testimonies about things but when things were going great. When things are going great, I don't have any testimonies. I can say, oh, God's been really good. I've had a really good time. But when things go bad, then God turns up. That's when your testimony occurs. It's right, isn't it? When God turns up, that's where your testimony occurs. Because it's to focus again on him. Our testimony is not of our trouble. Our testimony is of our deliverer. Our testimony is not of our need. Our testimony is of our provider. Number three, you've got to believe you've got something to give. Now, if I said to any one of you, there's some sick people, I'll use Nick because she doesn't get offended, there's some sick people down there, you go and pray for them, Nick, and pray for healing for them. Nick would go, yep, no worries. How would you feel? A little bit nervous, yeah. A little bit overwhelmed. I'd say to Graham, there's a need for compassion in Moorabbin. Yeah, I know, because you've never wasted any of yours. I just love you. We get challenged to do things, and in the natural, we don't feel confident. But the joy of that is we don't have to be confident in ourselves. We can be confident in the God that called us, the God that provides us, the God that has given us the Holy Spirit, has given us all good things in Christ. If you don't have some degree of that assurance, then folks, you need to get into your word and you need to start to practice it. If we're not using it, we lose it. Our spirits can atrophy just the same as our bodies. If we don't exercise them or don't do spiritual things, we become weak. And we need to be able to be strong. The world needs us. Okay. In Acts, you look at Peter and John walking through the marketplace, and there's a guy begging. And Peter and John didn't look at what they didn't have, which was the money. There's a story. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Now, do you reckon the bloke would have rather had, you know, 2 or 3 quid, or would he rather got up and walked? They knew that they had the ability to speak into that situation. Their faith wasn't in themselves. Their faith was in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Don't think that you haven't got something to offer. I think of Moses. You know, when Moses was doubting God's call on his life, that's one of the funniest stories of it. Did anyone else go to the David Wilkerson, anyone else at the David Wilkerson sessions a few years back? He was great. He's a fantastic man. His son spoke about the fact that there's Moses and he's going, Lord, you can't send me because I'm a man of stammering lips. That was his excuse. You can't send me. I'm a man of stammering lips. What was he talking to at the time? He was talking to a bush. The bush didn't even have lips. You can't send me. I've got stammering lips. And the bush goes, oh, really? Would you like to debate that? But one of the ways that God gave Moses some confidence, he said, "What's that in your hand?" And Moses said, "Well, it's a rod." And he goes, "Well, throw it down." So he throws it down. It turns into a snake. He says, "Pick it up. Turn it back into a rod and I'll pick it up." I'm not picking up the snake. Picks up the snake, turns back into a rod. This is a sign for you that you have authority and you have my blessing. You have my authority to speak on my behalf. From that time on, Moses used that rod to turn the river Nile into blood, to bring down hailstorm, to part the Red Sea. He held the rod over it because it was God's authority. He brought water out of a stone with the rod. Don't think you haven't got your own rod. Everyone here has the authority of God in a specific area of your life. You just need to tap into it. Now, there's no condemnation and there's no guilt. So we're not going to sit here and say you should be doing this or you have to do this or anything like that. What we are going to say is this: you can. Don't let the enemy tell you you can't, because you can. You can take up the rod. You can take up that authority. And you can use it for the betterment of the body, to exhort, to edify, to encourage. All right. It's God that acts, but you know, when God acts, he uses us. Don't think for a minute that it's just God. At the wedding of Cana, they ran out of wine. And having been to weddings, that's a disaster. So Mary goes to Jesus and says, "What are you going to do about it?" And he says, "Okay, well, you know, tell them to fill up the jugs with water." They fill up the jugs with water, and when they pour it out, it's wine, and it's good wine. Not the cask stuff. This is the top shelf. This is the Grange Hermitage. When did it turn into wine? Did it turn into wine when they filled the jugs with water? Did it turn into wine when it reached the glass? Does it matter when it turned into wine? But what it did matter was that they had to obey what God told them. The man had to get involved in it. He had to fill up the jugs. God requires us to respond to what he wants for us to have a miracle. Feed the 5,000, you got the boys' lunch. How do you kill a giant? With a bazooka? No, with 5 stones. That's all he had, 5 stones. It doesn't matter how much we've got, it's just what we'll give. How do you deliver a nation? With a stick, with a rod, with a dead branch. It wasn't ornate, it was just a symbol of authority. Okay. The foolish things confound the wise, the weak are made strong, the humble are exalted, the last shall be first. And you know, today if we think about giving, we think about the widow's mite. We don't even know what her name was, but we know that there was an old widow who put the last farthing she had into the plate. She gave because she wanted to honour God. And if we don't give with that attitude, we shouldn't be giving. We're not going to buy God's favour. She gave. Now, the other guy put in a whole lot of money, but we don't know his name either. We don't know how much he put in. But we do know 2,000 years later, there was a little lady who put in a farthing. That's all she had. And we still speak about it today. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. It's the internal stuff. It's what we give God that he'll use. It doesn't have to be a lot. It just has to be what we've got. Okay. Number 4. How are we going? Hey, I'm doing all right. We need to act in faith. Faith comes from hearing the word. If you haven't got faith, Don't tell me. Don't come and get a prayer session or a counselling session or sit down and talk. If you haven't got faith, get into your word. Oh, I don't like reading. Then listen to it. I don't understand it. There are so many different versions of the Bible out there right now. If you can't find one you like, you're not looking. They're all over the place.
They're all saying the same thing.
God's good and he loves us. Now get off your butts and do something about it. We need to act in faith. We need to work in that faith. We need to exercise that faith as we would a muscle. When we act in faith, when Jesus saw a need, he was moved by compassion. And then he knew that because he was moved by compassion, God would meet the need. It says many times that Jesus saw somebody and he had compassion on them and therefore he healed them. It doesn't say he saw them, looked at them and went, okay, what should I do there? Oh, Father, what do you think I should do there? Yeah. But they might have done something to deserve what they got. Huh? No, his heart was moved with compassion and he healed them. We need to act in faith. Jesus did. He's our example. We don't have responsibility for things we don't have power over. If you're going to ask somebody to take responsibility, you have to give them authority. It is not our responsibility how God answers prayer. It is our responsibility to pray. The result isn't our responsibility. That's God's and God's alone. And to God be the glory, because it's him that does it, not us. But we are called to step out and to do. And if we don't, it's not just the world that loses, we lose. We've been given all things in Christ, as Christ was given all things by God. And we have received those things. The Holy Spirit is there to give us gifts to touch the world. Now, to him who much is given, much is required. That's not to make you afraid or nervous or anxious. It's simply to look at you and say, we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, living in us. Don't tell me what you can't do. Show me what he can do.
And the greater our joy.
Does Christianity sometimes get a bit dull? It doesn't get dull if you pray for somebody and they get healed. It doesn't get dull when you have a word of knowledge over somebody and they go, wow, that's exactly what I needed. Christianity is not dull when it's lived in the Spirit. But, geez, it's dry chips when it's lived in the flesh. I mean, seriously. I've been to some churches and you go, oh, God, if this is joy, I just want to go home. It's not good fun. Personally, I used to struggle with trying to move in the spiritual gifts because I was afraid. I was embarrassed. I thought I'd make a fool of myself. I thought that I would look presumptuous. And then there was a secondary fear. The secondary fear was, if it actually worked, I was going to think I was pretty good. So you got the catch-22. I'm embarrassed if I fail, and I'm puffed up if I succeed. Because I kept looking at myself. What will people think? Well, if I pray for that person, they get healed. They're going to think I'm pretty good. What if I pray for them and they don't get healed? They're going to think I'm bad. Probably better to do nothing at all. I don't know how many people are still sick because I didn't pray for them. No, God still steps in. All right. We're never too young or too old to learn or to step out. One of my favourite verses and one of my favourite characters in the Bible is Caleb. Oh, you reckon Caleb's amazing. We look at him in Joshua 14 and there's Caleb. He's 85 years old now. 85 years old. And he goes, this is the promised land that they're going to give us. This is what we're supposed to have 40 years ago. Yep. Give me that mountain. Why didn't we want to go there in the first time? Because there were giants in the land. What's the mountain that Caleb wants? It's the mountain with the giants on it. 85-year-old bloke walks in and says, I'll take the Giants. If God is with me, they're nothing. He's a hero, Caleb. He wasn't too old to learn. He wasn't too old to move. We're not too old to move. We're not too young to move. Let no one despise your youth. But at the same time, folks, don't retire. Caleb didn't. Okay, number five, I'll skip over this one pretty quick. Atmosphere is not essential. We don't need to have a specifically or special religious attitude. I went forward at a Billy Graham crusade when I was 14. I think I went forward on the ninth verse of Just As I Am. They sang it for another hour and a quarter. The atmosphere was perfect. I mean, I'm sitting there going, I don't want to go forward. But he kept singing the song. I thought, oh, geez, if I go forward, maybe he'll shut up. We don't need to have a special atmosphere. A storm at sea in Galilee is not particularly conducive to a miracle, but that's what happened there. Paul was in a shipwreck. Then he was bitten by a venomous snake. And what's the next thing you know about Paul? He goes out and he heals a guy that's got dysentery. Our atmosphere, our circumstances don't control us. Paul carried his own atmosphere and his own circumstance with him because he had the Lord with him. And he never saw the circumstances out there. He just looked at the circumstances within here. When he was centered, when he was strong in his spirit, he didn't care about what was happening on around him. So don't worry about the atmosphere. If it's the need there, step out and meet it. One of the big things is fear of failure. What if I step out and I get it wrong? Well, you know something? Graeme, I know that you're probably the only one in the whole church that's never stepped out and got it wrong because you're the senior pastor. That's right, isn't it? Is that totally wrong? Oh. You mean you made mistakes? Say it isn't so. So, there are no heroes in the Bible. Abraham was afraid. He was afraid of Pharaoh. He was so afraid of Pharaoh that he gave him his wife. Moses was afraid. Don't send me. Joshua was afraid. Otherwise, God wouldn't have had to say to Joshua, be not afraid. You don't say be not afraid to someone who's not afraid. So Joshua was afraid. David was afraid. If you think that fear stops us from moving in what God has for us, you haven't read your word. Because nobody in the Bible did not have fear at some stage. I have some secular heroes as well as some Christian heroes. Muhammad Ali, the boxer. They asked him once, what defines a champion? He says, only one thing. And they said, what is it? He says, getting up when you can't. It's getting up one more time than they knock you down. That's the only thing that defines a champion, not quitting. God is not grieved when we make mistakes. I taught my son and my daughter to ride bikes with my wife's help to ride bikes. I'd run along behind them holding the seat and they would start pedaling along. Did they fall off? Yeah. If the first time they'd fallen off, they went, well, I'm not doing this anymore. I would have been worried about their character development because they're quitters. Failure is always and only temporary. We all fail. God's not concerned about your failure. What he's concerned about is if you quit. Because quitting isn't temporary. Quitting is terminal. Don't let fear of failure stop you. Okay. One of the things we are afraid of, one of the things that causes us to fear is when we look at the circumstance or the situations we're in and we don't keep our eyes firmly focused on God. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, did Jesus speak to Peter? Jesus actually spoke to all the disciples and said, be not afraid. Peter then said, if that's really you, I really like Peter. If that's really you, call me to come. And Jesus said, come. Then Peter had to get out of the boat. It was me, I'd be going, if it's really you, stop the wind. stop the rocking of the boat. My thought would never have been to get out and walk on the water. But Pete's a little more exuberant. Call me and I'll come. Come. Peter gets out and he walks on water. Now, I've sailed on the Sea of Galilee. And when that gets choppy, that gets choppy. But Pete's walking on it. Why does he sink? Because he takes his eyes off Jesus and he looks down and he hears the wind and he looks at the waves and he goes, I can't be doing this. If Jesus calls you to come, you can come. If Jesus calls you to minister to somebody, you can minister to them. But look at him, don't look at the circumstances. Keep your eyes lifted above and not below. All right. Sometimes we're going to need confirmation. So number 7 is to seek confirmation. Now, there's nothing wrong with seeking confirmation. Peter did it when he said, is that you? Gideon did it when he put out the 2 fleece. I like Gideon too. He put out 1 fleece and that worked. And he goes, well, maybe that was a fluke. We'll try it again. These are the great men of faith in the Bible. They're not that different to you and I. They actually did it. We just read about it. Seek confirmation. If you have a problem, I had somebody ring me last week and said, look, this lady's asked me to come and pray at her house. Husband's not a Christian. There's some pretty heavy stuff going on there. What should I do? And in my spirit, I thought, no, you don't go there. You can pray for the lady, but don't go to her house. You haven't been asked. You haven't got the authority to do that. Now, the person who rang me was quite happy to do what God required them to do. They just needed confirmation. When I said, I don't think it's right, they went, yeah, look, I don't think it's right either. It was a confirmation for them. Never be afraid of asking for confirmation. Never be afraid of being under authority. Authority isn't as bad as I used to think it was. Not always. We also need to be proactive. The hardest part in anything is actually getting up and starting. You know, it's a lot easier to direct a rolling stone than it is to raise the dead. If we're moving, we can actually find direction. It's getting moving to start with. I mean, when I first got saved, I thought, yeah, prophesying, that's good fun. Like to be a prophet, that'd be good. So I'll prophesy. So I waited on God, and the next time there was a time to prophesy, I said, yep, I'm going to prophesy now. Here it comes. Going to prophesy. Maybe next week. Well, the week turned into months, the months turned into years. Step out. Step out of the boat. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts continually. It's up to us to respond to those gifts. We need to be proactive, not passive. That's where we started. We need to look at ways we can utilise and see what God wants us to do. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues through us. We speak in tongues. We do it. The Holy Spirit doesn't prophesy through us. We prophesy. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability. The Holy Spirit gives us the inspiration, but we do it. So if you're thinking God's going to do something through you, he's saying, you do this. And as you respond, he meets you. I remember going through Bible college and we were taught this. And I think it's really good because one of the problems I had when I did start to prophesy was I knew where to start, I just didn't know where to stop. Anyone else ever been there? You start off and it's a really good idea. Then you're going along, what am I going to say next? And then you start to ramble. And that's just embarrassment. Stand up, speak up, shut up. It doesn't have to be eloquent, doesn't have to be long-winded. It's just got to be what God wants to say. Okay. God chose us as earthen vessels to to display his power and glory. He works through us. Angels don't turn up on your door. Thought I'd come along and pray for you. We turn up on the door. Just feel like God wants me to pray for you. And it's good when they do, isn't it, Ken? If you've got it on your heart, step out. Little bits, step out. One thing, step out on that. Resist doubt, even when you have done all these things. I love, again, Peter. He turned his eyes off the storm onto Jesus, so he got his focus right. He overcame. He resisted his natural fear to be proactive. He used his initiative, which is the thing we're saying now. He asked for confirmation. And then he stepped out of the boat. What did Jesus call Peter? The rock. And that's how he sank. He sank straight down like a rock. He'd done all those things. And he still sank. Because he doubted. Doubt will steal from you the peace and the security you have in God. Now, when Peter sank like a rock, he called out to Jesus, and Jesus immediately, not letting him go down 2-3 times just to teach him a lesson, immediately reaches out, pulls him up. And then Peter walks on the water for a second time. He didn't walk on the water once, he walked on the water twice. The first time looking at Jesus, the second time with his hand firmly clasped by Jesus. It's another good example. If you step out and doubt hits you or you fall, don't worry about it. Call out to God. God's hand will reach down immediately and pick you up. God wants his children to trust him. He will not let you flounder and feel stupid. He will meet you. Okay. Our responsibility is to trust and obey. It's not for results. I've prayed for people, and I've said this before on this platform, I've prayed for people with nothing but fear and anxiety and doubt in my heart, and they have been healed. And I've prayed for people knowing that I was a mighty man of God, filled with the Spirit and ready to raise the dead, and nothing happened. Or not the thing that I wanted to happen. My responsibility is not to have the result that I want. My responsibility is to do what God said, just to act in obedience to what God says. Let him take care of the results. But they'll be disappointed. If they're looking for me to be the answer, they're going to be disappointed anyway, because I'm not the answer. Jesus is. You know, we sang the song, it's all about you. And it is, it's all about him. But we are the hands that he uses. Finally, learn from the past. Those who do not learn from the past repeat the past until we do learn from it. We don't go into tradition. We don't do the same thing twice just because we did it once and it worked. We don't do it again, but we learn lessons and seek times to be able to express those. If I find that if I pray for an hour before I come to church, then God gives me a word, or that if I do that before a cell group meeting, because it's probably more in cell groups that I'll operate than in church, people scare me, then if that works, then I should be doing that. I should learn from that and say, well, when I prayed, whew, that was okay, and start practicing that. But don't get caught up in a pattern of we have to do this because that's how it worked last time. The church for a number of years got caught up into this is how it happened then, we'll do the same thing and get the same response. And it doesn't work that way. Ask Moses. Striking the rock the first time was a great idea because it's what God said. Striking the rock the second time was not a good idea because it's not what God said. We need to learn from the past. We need to ask God to show us and reveal things to us. Paul says to us twice in Corinthians, he says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts that you may use them for the benefit of the body, for everybody else, for those that are in grief, those that are in pain, those that are lost, those that are despairing. That's what the spiritual gifts are for, to help others. He repeats it twice, 12 and 14. But God is able to do all that we ask. Actually, it's more than that. God is able to do all that we ask or can imagine. It's more than that. God is able to do more than all we ask or imagine. And it goes one better than that. God is able to immeasurably do more than anything you can ask or imagine. Is there anything God can't do apart from lie? No. There's nothing, no situation that we're going to be in ever in our lives that God is not over. And we need to keep bringing that to our minds and into our hearts. And we need to be sharing that with others through the ministry gifts, through the spiritual gifts that we've been given, that the Holy Spirit continues to give us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. He is a living fountain full of gifts that keep coming out to us. We don't use them because we're afraid or we're anxious about doing it right, or we look at the visible things around us and say we can't do it. Folks, I'm going to encourage you. You know, I believe without any hesitation that the Holy Spirit wants us to pray in the Spirit. Now, it's a gift. You can have it. But you have to use it. You have to operate in it. You have to be the one that actually steps out and starts to say it. Now, oh, am I going to make up words? No. Trust God. Do you want me to speak in tongues or do you want me to speak in the Spirit? Yes. Boom. Then okay, I'm going to do it. I need you to reveal that to me. I need you to show me that. I need to be able to operate in that. But then trust him and step out into it. Anybody here ever had a parachute ride? Parachutes? Good. Riding a parachute's easy, isn't it? It is. Riding a parachute is, actually it's peaceful, it's wonderful. It's jumping out of the plane that's hard. You know? The parachute's great, but jumping out of the plane's not easy. Step out. Get out of the boat. Jump out of the plane. We want to see the Spirit of God manifest in our meetings, in our relationships, in our cell groups, in our life groups, in our families. We need to step out of the boat. Okay. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that your word is true, and I thank you that you are able to do immeasurably more than anything we can ask or imagine. I thank you that your desire is to teach us to trust you and to bring us to maturity in you. Lord, that your love for us never fails. I just pray, Father God, that your word would stir within each one. Lord, for those that are seeking to find a reality in their own Christian walk, Father, I pray that this would be a beginning part where they would start to step out in you, have faith. We only need the faith of a mustard seed to move mountains. So I just pray for that, Father. For those, Father God, who are a bit dry right now, I pray again that they would seek your presence and your face and start to stir up the gift that's within them. Lord, start to speak in tongues. Start to utilize what you've already given us. And Father God, I pray that for our church, we would start to move in the manifest gifts that you've given us so that the world can see too. That we can encourage and build each other up. We can gain confidence in you, not in ourselves, not in our format, but in you. Lord, we do all these things. We ask for all these things that you may be glorified and that your name will be lifted above all names and that people will see you and be drawn to you. So, Father, we just ask you blessing to be upon us as we travel home now in Jesus' name. Amen.